One of the themes we've discussed in recent observations is that while nothing is certain, monetary policy 3 has the potential to lead to higher inflation than investors have become accustomed to. And because of this risk, we've been advising our readers and listeners on the importance of inflation-sensitive assets, like commodities, in their portfolios, so that they're diversified to a potential inflationary outcome. And so in today's podcast, we're joined by Karen Carney-Altambor, who has written a number of daily observations recently on commodity markets, including the importance of a diversified commodity allocation, some of the key secular trends affecting industrial commodity markets, and how to build a commodity allocation that meets the goals of investors that prioritize sustainability issues. So with that, let's begin. Karen, I want to start with the basic notion. Why is inflation protection so important in a portfolio? And what are commodities giving us that other assets aren't?
Thanks, Jim. When we look at most traditional portfolios, they primarily have stocks and bonds. And you have coupons that get eroded in any kind of real terms, real purchasing power once inflation goes up. Stocks, these are companies. And you know, it's very easy to eat into earnings once you have things like rising input costs and not able to pass that on. And so as we look at most portfolios and what they are resilient to, one of the big vulnerabilities we see is really that in periods where inflation rises, whatever type of inflation you get, most portfolios that we see clients hold tend to do relatively poorly. So for almost every portfolio we see, adding some inflation protection ends up adding diversification and making a portfolio more resilient. And there are really different kinds of inflation that can occur, and different types of assets help you be exposed to inflation shocks that are of different types. So inflation can be monetary. In other words, currency gets devalued, and the assets tend to do best in those times are things like gold, but they can also be real cost pressures in the real economy, like literally an insufficient supply of goods relative to demand. And that's where, you know, having inflation-linked bonds that pay you out with the CPI is can be helpful, but also having literal exposure to those raw inputs that are being used in the economy. And we're in a particular environment today where the primary tool of policy that used to be interest rates has really shifted to what we've called an MP3 world, one where monetary printing is coming alongside fiscal policy. And so when you're stimulating that way, you're both printing a lot of money, which could of course turn into monetary inflation, the sorts of environments where it's particularly good to hold real assets like gold. And you're at a time where your stimulation ends up really having a high probability of hitting the real economy. You're using the fiscal lever in a way that can really make it into the real economy. So having exposure to the type of inflation that occurs when there are rising input costs, when literally demand outstrips supply, is very diversifying to most portfolios.
So most investors, when they take on commodity exposure by indices, the biggest of which are pretty concentrated in oil and energy. So Karen, can you talk a little bit about how you think about diversification within commodities?
Well, as you said, when you look at most commodity indices, they tend to be very concentrated and particularly very concentrated in oil. And it was very interesting because COVID actually provided a really good stress test of how much commodities can diverge from one another when supply-demand pressures diverge in different industries and in different countries, and why diversification is so important. So something like COVID hits, it's a particularly bad time to be doing things like air travel. And China particularly outperforms with how it's able to get its economy back on its feet. So you see a very significant divergence between something like oil that's very exposed to developed world demand and very exposed to sectors like transportation and travel, relative to industrial commodities that are a lot more exposed to Chinese demand and are a lot more exposed to activity like construction. Very different industry, very wide divergence. Now, we don't know what'll happen next. We don't know what direction the world is going to go, but it seems unwise to hold a commodity exposure that's really concentrated in just one type of commodity. You'd want as broad as possible of exposure to what are the types of input costs that might go up and how can I hold as diversified of a mix as possible. And every individual commodity really has idiosyncratic with risks in it. I don't have to tell you that with oil, you know, in large part, you're also taking a very, very big view on how fast will a carbon transition take place. The faster we transition our economy away from carbon and the more policy goes in that direction or doesn't, oil is kind of uniquely exposed to that. So being very concentrated in oil just doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Yeah, well, that brings up a good question. How are you thinking about the secular demand risks and opportunities across other commodities?
Right. It's really interesting because in this kind of MP3 environment where you have monetary and fiscal operating side by side, policy is a lot more likely to actually be directed into particular sectors, particular activities, particular vision of how the economy should look like than a world where you're just kind of lowering and raising interest rates and people go and, you know, respond in any way they want to the interest rates that are there. And when we look around the world, one of the strongest areas of consensus that we see in terms of, you know, polling or what people want their governments to do is a desire to use fiscal policy and use those levers to shift the economy away from carbon, to turn the economy to be greener. And when we look at that, there's really no way to accomplish that shift without a lot more industrial commodities mining. You need to get a lot of new commodities out of the ground to actually build electric vehicles, build the charging stations for them. If you want your electricity grid to be greener, you need to physically build the electricity grid. And so for us, those pressures are very strong secular pressures on industrial commodities at a time where investors don't have a whole lot of them in their portfolio. They don't have general inflation protection, but they certainly don't have protection against this type of inflation. And there is a world very plausible where you actually don't get very broad inflation, but you only get inflation in the particular sectors and areas that policymakers want to prioritize. And industrial commodities would be a great hedge against that.
So I think a lot of investors understand the valuable diversification commodities can provide, but we're seeing an increasing number of investors who are also focused on sustainable investment. So is there a way for these investors to hold commodities? Is it even an asset class they should be interested in holding?
At the headline level, not only do we think that holding commodities doesn't have to be incompatible with sustainability goals, we actually think it's an important topic for people concerned with sustainability to be thinking through their approach to commodities. I mean, at a summary level, there is no world, if we imagine kind of the sustainable world of tomorrow, and if we accomplish all of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, that world requires a whole lot of raw materials, a whole lot of industrial commodities to come out of the ground, a whole lot of the nutritional staples and agricultural commodities to be consumed. We know that is necessary in the world of the future. And because of that, actually thinking about how will those commodities get produced is a very, very important question for investors that care about sustainability. So rather than shying away from commodities, we think this is actually a very important issue for investors that care about having their portfolio aligned with climate goals and with sustainability goals.
So how should investors think about actually building a sustainable commodity allocation?
So I think you start with the question of, when I have a commodity, what is its footprint? What are the effects that are happening on the real world? And you can kind of split that into two. Part one is when it's being produced, when it's literally being brought out of the ground, how is that working? And so are you creating greenhouse gas emissions when mining it? Are you handling land and water use well? What are the business practices like? Do you have labor violations? Do you have modern slavery? The whole process of what is the production like? And that can be assessed at a mine level, at a company level, and for a whole commodity overall. And then you have the other side, which is what happens when it's being consumed. And so obviously when oil is being consumed, when a fossil fuel is being consumed, literally the consumption itself is creating things like greenhouse gas emissions. Or you might have a consumption that actually leads you to clean up the world, as an example, if you're using industrial commodities for the purpose of creating a green electric grid. That's a pretty important purpose in terms of what the consumption is like. So what we've done is basically try to think about this issue as rigorously as we'd think about any other investment issue, which means go in, find the data, measure it, create an evaluation process. So we've created a very robust process of triangulating a whole lot of data points to be able to add up either at a mine level or at a company level or at the broad commodity level to make those assessments and be able to compare commodities and be able to say, here are the commodities that the production and the consumption is more sustainable versus less sustainable, and then be able to build an allocation that tilts what you're holding to the most sustainable commodities and basically away from commodities like fossil fuels.
So given that, Karen, what are we holding in this sustainable index, and how does this more sustainable allocation perform relative to a more traditional allocation of commodities?
So we hold precious metals and industrial metals, no fossil fuels, no agriculturals. And you get the type of diversification where precious metals do very well in periods of more monetary inflation. Industrial metals help you with more real economy cost push inflation. And I think the most effective way to think about the performance is to look at periods where you have inflation rising more than discounted, because those are the periods, as we talked about at the beginning, that traditional portfolios tend to be very exposed to and tend to underperform. So when we zoom into those periods and say, look at these periods of rising inflation, you see very similar performance. Both portfolios do very well and are quite effective at providing diversification to a more traditional portfolio of stocks and bonds. And at the same time, whatever environmental metric we use, whether it's the emissions intensity when the commodities are being produced, or the contribution to kind of a scenario where you only have 1 degree warming or less, significantly better environmental metrics as well.
Great. Well, Karen, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.